Okay, so tonight we are going to learn about the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, which amazingly enough is in our Parsha, Parsha's Bo, and also, of course, is what we did for our child, Elisha. And so I've been, you know, learning a lot about the beautiful symbolism and the meaning behind this really complex mitzvah. So the mitzvah is actually listed, I think, 13 times in the Torah and in four different Parshias. So it has a lot of different aspects. There's a lot of Gemaras about it. Let's try to give a quick synopsis of three angles on what is the goal behind this mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. So the simplest approach is to understand this as one of the gifts that we give to Kohanim, to priests. There are 24 gifts that Israelites are obligated to Kohanim. Some of them don't apply anymore, but this is one of them. As it says in Bamidbar, Vayom Hashem al Aaron, God says to Aaron, Atah uvenecho beit avicha itach tisu et avon hamikdash. You are going to take up the responsibilities of the base of Migdash. Atah uvenecha atah tisu et avon kunatechem. Ki netunim netunim emeli, you are given to me, mitoch b'nei Israel. Tachat pitrat kol rechem b'chor. You're taking the place of that firstborn child. Kol mimnei Israel lakachti otem li. And I have taken you instead of them. And we also know there was a ceremony in the Torah taking the Kedusha of the firstborn children and giving it to the Levites. So it just makes so much sense that we're going to symbolically take the Kedusha of the Bechor and give it with those five shekels to the Kohen. So the real focus, if we look at it like this, is it's about the Kohen. It's not really about Elisha, it's not really about the baby, it's about our Kohen Ariel and giving him a gift. Now, why do we want to give him a gift? Very simply, he would have been working in the Beis HaMikdash, doing holy things all day, and thus we want to support him. And of course, we know the story. How did those Levites and later the Kohanim get that Kedusha from the Bechors? Well, at the Chet HaEgel, we the Jewish people sinned, and thus the Bechor lost their holiness, and so it went instead to the Levites, who stood up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so we give them these gifts. So what's the takeaway for us? Lesson number one is, don't be like us Israelites who give into peer pressure and, you know, do what everyone else is doing and worship idols. Be like the Levites, be true to God and His beautiful values, and you will get great reward in this world and the next. So that's one approach towards what's this mitzvah all about. Again, it's about the Kohen. It's not so much about the Bechor. A second approach, and one that, you know, is closer to my heart, is one brought down by a couple of Mefarshim, and it starts with the following pasuk, and Bamidbar Gimel, Yigimlet writes, the Torah writes, Ki li kol bechor biyom akoti kol bechor be'etzen chayim. Every firstborn child is God's. He dashti li kol bechor Yisrael me'adam ad be'ma liyu yiyu ani Hashem. I have sanctified them to me. They are mine, says Hashem. Now, at what point did God take the firstborn child to be His? Well, it writes in our Parsha, Shmos Yud Gimel, right before the Jewish people leave Egypt, sanctify me every firstborn child and also animals. And you're going to transfer that firstborn from the womb to God. Why? What does this commemorate? And your child's going to ask you, why? Why are you doing this weird ceremony, taking money and giving it to a Kohen? What's that all about? And you're going to tell him, you know why? Because God, with a strong hand, took us out of Egypt. And on that night, when God had a hard time sending us out, and God smote the firstborn of every Egyptian child. So to commemorate that, we have these commemoration mitzvahs of the Pidyon of the Behema and the Pidyon of the Ben, which commemorates the miracles of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, just like eating matzah and wearing tefillin. So This also commemorates the miracles of Hashem freeing us in Yetzias Mitzrayim, but specifically it hones in on that moment where Hashem saved the firstborn Jewish child. In other words, explains Rav Avadya Sforno, in Parshas Bo, he explains that God, kedei lahatzilam, hikdishem HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoter. The firstborn child did not necessarily deserve to be saved. Perhaps you could relate this in Midrash, which says that, you know, the Jews were immersed in idolatry to the same extent that the Egyptians were immersed to idolatry, so they really didn't deserve to be saved. But nonetheless, Hashem wanted to save them out of love, perhaps in the zchus of the Paschal lamb which they slaughtered. So therefore, God saves them. He sanctifies them. It's almost like he puts an aura, like a halo, to protect them. And at that very moment, they were sanctified. Okay? Now, think about it. At this point, the Jews have not yet done the sin of the Egel HaZahav. And therefore, it must be that the mitzvah of Pinyon of Ben is not connected to the Kohen, to the priestly worship, because at this point, the Bechor were going to be the ones who are going to do the Holy Avodah. As the Ramban writes very clearly, that they were set aside, Bavor shepada'am tzivashi ekdoshim lo. God is poi to them. He raised them up and he made them holy. To do whatever Hashem wanted them to do. I think the Ramban is purposefully being a little bit vague here because it's machlokes about whether there was for sure going to be a Beis HaMikdash before the Chet HaEgel or not. Maybe it would have been some old other holy service. But at this point, right before God is going to take the Jewish people out of Egypt, he sanctifies those firstborn Jews and says they're holy. In fact, as Forno writes, if I don't think this is a lach lamaisa, but at least in theory, if you don't do pidyon aben, then the chor can't do anything unholy because that unsanctifies him. And right now he's holy because of what happened in Mitzrayim, and he's on such a holy level that you can't use him. I can't say, "Hey, Elisha, go bring me my slippers," or he can't work in a makolet. He can only work in holy matters. So it turns out, according to this second approach, what is the focus? The focus is on the Bechor child, okay? And the Kohen is just, well, he's part of the ceremony in order to recognize, again, that he was holy. But here's the thing. As we already mentioned, they did the Chet Egel. And now we need to take from this holiness of this child and de-consecrate him onto these five shekels, which we then give to the Kohen. And so it turns out that according to the second approach, it's a little bit interesting. What exactly are we celebrating here? He was holy and now he's less holy? So perhaps, I was trying to think of how to make sense of this approach. Perhaps we could approach it similar to Havdalah. Every Shabbos, we make a celebration. We make a statement. We drink the grape juice and we make this ceremony to proclaim the fact that it's no longer Shabbos. And that's okay. We're taking from the Kedusha of Shabbos and we're going to kind of use that as a prism to take that Kedusha and bring it into the week. So similarly, we are recognizing the fact that, yes, he was really, really holy, but now we're unsanctifying him, and he's going to be able to bring that holiness into the world of the chol. He's going to be able to work as a accountant or a lawyer, or bring slippers to his dad, or maybe work as a makolet worker, but my wife doesn't like that idea. Whatever it is, and there's kedusha there too. He's bringing that kedusha into the chol world, and that is the mitzvah, and that too is something to celebrate. That brings me to my third approach, which is the one which I like the best. And I think it starts out with the fact that, yes, the focus is on the Bechor child, and he was raised up on a higher level at that moment of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Could be, in essence, he already had the potential to be raised up holier. The Zohar writes that the Bechor naturally is on a holier level. He draws from the soul of his father. But that potential was lifted in Mitzrayim, and he's on a holier level. So what are we doing? We're celebrating the fact that we have a firstborn child, and we are consecrating him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To what does this remind me of? It reminds me of the mitzvah of Bikurim. And in fact, it's the same Shoresh. Bechor is Beit Chafresh, 2200, interestingly enough, and so is Bikurim. And in fact, the two are juxtaposed to each other. In Bamidbar Yudches, we learn about the mitzvah of taking your first fruits to your shalayim. And the next pasuk in Tetzvav called Petarechem is mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think they're thematically related. What do? When we do Bikurim, we take our first fruits. We take that date. We go to Yerushalayim and we raise it up to Hashem. We say, thank you, Hashem, for taking me out of Egypt, for bringing me to Eretz Yisrael. And instead of me just eating this date, I'm recognizing that this is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in doing so, we thus allow ourselves to then eat the rest of our dates. Once we take a step back and appreciate the miracle, which are the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael, then we can enjoy the fruits of the land. And similarly, what we're doing right now is we're taking our firstborn child and we're lifting him up and we're being paid to him in the sense of like in Kiddush, recognizing the Kedusha of this child and recognizing that it is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the approach of the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Yudches. Pidyon HaBen reminds us to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the miracle that is this child. Mom is an open miracle that we have children and we are saying Hashem, thank you. We know it's a miracle, and all of our future children are going to be dedicated. Now we can enjoy the fruits of this child and our future children because we're first saying thank you. It reminds me of the story of Chana. When Chana, she takes a neder, and she says, Hashem, I want a child. I will dedicate him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And indeed, she is granted a child. When we dedicate our children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we actually gain him back for ourselves. And in essence, this is actually the whole idea of all of Judaism, that before we eat, we say, wait, thank you, Hashem. We say a bracha. When we wake up, the first thing we do is we daven. We say, thank you, Hashem, for life. And in fact, every physical act, we first say thank you. We first recognize it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we can benefit from the blessings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps this is an allusion. You know, there's a famous idea in many Kabbalistic works that when you participate in the meal of a Pidyon HaBen, it counts like 84 fasts. 84 is the gematria of Pei Dalet, Pidyon. Perhaps this is the idea that fasting is one level, but when we recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu and then we celebrate, that's actually even higher. That's Kedusha. That's Precious, which leads to Kedusha. There's nothing wrong with enjoying his world as long as we first take that step back and recognize that it's all from Kadosh Baruch Hu and thus do the physical in a way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do it. And so again, according to the third approach, it's not so much about like Havdalah, it's more like a Kiddush sanctification, declaring in public that we want our child to be dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And indeed, that is our hope and tefillah, that we will dedicate our child to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and making the world a better and a happier place. Please God. Before I wrap up, I'll just mention a few more interesting things we've learned about Pidyon HaBen. There's a minhag to give five shkolim. Why specifically five shkolim? One answer is that it reminds to the hay. When Avram joined the Jewish people, and he went from Avram to Avraham. So we are also hoping that this child will emulate Avram Avinu and spread stuck in Mishpat. The Meshech HaChachma says the five shkolim is actually a tikkun from Yosef HaTzadik because he was sold for 20 sela, which equals five shkolim, and he was Yaakov's Bechor, and the brothers sold him out. And so we're now taking money and saying, we want to save our child, and we don't want to trade him in for anything, even though sometimes he keeps us up late at night, but we still want to take him. Another beautiful allusion that I've heard a lot is that, you know, when we are asked, what do you want more? Do you want the money, the five shekel? Do you want your child? So we're reminding ourselves that we should never choose money over our child. Our children should always go first and please God. There's a minhag to have the suda and then do the mitzvah. This too reminds us of the cheta of Yosef HaTzadik, where the brothers ate and celebrated after selling Esva Tzadik. So we're metaken that by interrupting our eating to do the mitzvah. And there's a minhag of giving sugar cubes and garlic out. Perhaps it alludes to din and chesed. We want our child to have the right balance. And we want other people to also benefit from this child and from this suuda. So we give them sugar cubes in their for their coffee and garlic for your chulent. So everyone can celebrate in this 84th fast of suuda. And Bezrat Hashem, we should all be zoicha to dedicate ourselves to wake up in the morning and daven and learn and say beautiful brachas and have many, many beautiful children. L'chaim, l'chaim.